Our scripture today is the love chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. When the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childishness. And now I see in a mirror, dimly. Then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord. And we humble ourselves before you now. You fill us. You sustain us. You speak. You create. You give new life. In your word, all those things are offered. Help us simply to be open to how you're speaking to us individually and as your church. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I have found that some of the most loving people are also some of the orneriest. Let me pick out some faces in particular. So don't point to the person next to you. I just want you to know I already have a list in my office of all of you who are ornery, so I don't need. But I'll go into groups like, for instance, this coming week, I'll probably be on Thursday going into where the United Methodist women meet. And there's a meeting that's listed in the bulletin. It's not really an executive committee. What they're going to be doing is actually wrapping silverware for the potato bake, okay? Have you ever thought that wrapping silverware was ministry and building the kingdom of God? Well, somebody's got to do it, so yes. But after I go in there, and they give me a hard time, and they just beat up on me, and oh, whoa, thank you so much. I appreciate the sympathy. I know it's really genuine also. They always end afterwards by saying, but you know we love you. And they kind of say it like that, or they point at me and like, just so straighten up, Neil. Love is a funny thing. Love is a many splendid thing. I won't sing. A lot of things written about love. A lot of scripture also that points to love as well. This particular scripture passage has been used again and again and again in all things, in wedding ceremonies. Now, I think it's beautiful. No question about it. And wonderful, and eloquent, and really appropriate. But in the context, it wasn't written about a wedding ceremony. It was written addressing an early church that was full of hard-headed, stiff-necked, self-centered, pain-in-the-neck Christians. Again, I don't mean to be looking at anybody in particular. And it was addressed to that church that was already starting to fall apart, that was starting to pull apart at the seams. For us, this is something that we need to hear. We need to understand it. We need to heed these words. Because just as they are written for the early church, they are written for the modern day church. And who is the modern day church? The body of Christ. For us, these words should resonate. Not as some pie in the sky idea, but rather as how God is working in the midst of each and every one of us, at our soul level, at the most intimate level of our hearts and minds, strengthening us for the nitty-gritty of life, for the challenge of being the bearers of His Son's name. Paul wrote to the church, and I would encourage you today, at some point, amidst all preparations for you know what, to read chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Okay? I would encourage you to read chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and then read this chapter as well. They really go together. Now, if we read all of that, I love my sister in Christ's voice and I love hearing her read, but there wouldn't be any time for me to talk. And any preacher wants some time to talk, a little bit, maybe a little bit more. Whenever you go like this, remember that means 15 more minutes, Neil. Go for it. For us, look at what Paul is saying to that early church, to our brothers and sisters in Christ in the early church. He's saying in chapter 12, first of all, you have spiritual gifts. But you can't allow that to lift yourself up or pump yourself up above your brother or sister in Christ, because you're called to use those gifts to build up one another. You're called to use those gifts to build up the body of Christ, which you are. Then after going through that, he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. I'm going to tell you something even better. And he starts talking about love. Now, are we the source of this love? No. God is. Because it's an agape love, a self-giving love, a love in which you give and you offer love and you don't expect anything in return. Is that really easy to do? Okay. When you give money to somebody who's on the corner, they're holding up a sign, and then you see them there the next week also, and you think, well, why didn't they change their life? I gave them money. Agape love is giving it and letting it go. Just as God loves us, no matter what our response is, we're called to practice that kind of love. Understand what I just said. Practice that kind of love. It doesn't come naturally. It really doesn't. And it doesn't come easy. For us, when we love another Christian, when we offer in some way, sometimes even the best of us, in the back of our minds, we say, well, they never sent a thank you note. In fact, they never said thank you or acknowledged it at all. I don't know if I'm going to help them anymore. That's not what love is. Love is kind and patient, not arrogant or rude, not self-serving. It doesn't boast itself up. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things love never ends. Now, that whole idea of love never ending also, that kind of forever notion, is something that Paul wanted the early church to grasp onto, okay? Because love from God is really very much about eternity. Love from God is really very much living with heaven on our minds. Love is about long-lasting things, forever things, how God is seeking to change us forever through Jesus Christ. Not just love that's given out here and there as we feel like it, but a life that is lived in love with God and sharing that love with those around us. You see? Get it? That, my friends, is a transformation that does take work, practice, effort, accountability, encouraging one another to step forward, to continue to step forward. And so the question today is, how are you in love with God? That's the first part. The second part is, how are you open to sharing that love with others? God's the only source of love. When we have love in our lives, God is that source, and God will never let that run dry as long as we stay in love with Him. As long as we stay in love with God. As long as we continue to be in His Word. As long as we continue to worship together. As long as we continue to pray. As long as we continue to hand over our lives as a living sacrifice in the name of the risen Savior. As long as we continue to practice it and work, God will never allow love to run dry in our hearts. We'll always have plenty so we can give it away. How is God speaking to you about that today? Giving away that love that He's filled you with. The table that we gather around this morning is a table in which we come humbly and we offer ourselves and we lay before God anything that is burdening us, any challenges, any concerns. And I hope that we've done that already in worship, but if you haven't yet, you can do that right now as you come forward for communion. But then know that you don't go away empty. You're filled with these elements of love and grace. Love is not some sort of virtue, as Paul describes it. Love is the greatest gift, the first gift that God gives us. Whenever He breathes life into us at birth, that is love. Whenever He sustains us throughout our lives, that is love. Whenever at our last breath on earth and we're received into heaven because we have that saving relationship with God through Jesus, that is love. How are you open to that love and to sharing it today? At this table, God loves. God loves because we're reminded of how He gave us His Son. God loves the world so much that He gave Jesus so that we would be forgiven, renewed, and have hope for the future. There are those who are going to be helping serve communion this morning. I'd ask them to come forward at this time. I'd ask those who are going to be serving communion to come forward at this time. The Savior of the world, our Savior, Jesus Christ, when He gathered around the table and He was having a meal, He said extraordinary words. He said, "This is My body. This is broken for you." What He was also saying is, God loves you. It's kind of an extraordinary way to say it, isn't it? My body's broken, and that means God loves you. But it's true. So this morning, whenever we remember the body broken, and it is offered for all of us, We remember what God did for us through Jesus. The body of Christ broken for the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after the supper, Jesus poured out the wine. He said even more extraordinary words. He said, "This is my blood, and you are forgiven as you receive it." As you open yourself to receiving what this means, the sacrifice that was made for you. My blood shed for you. As you receive it, you are forgiven. You can have a new life. And you're loved once again. Amazing. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the communion stewards received the elements, I ask that you, as you feel guided by the Holy Spirit, come forward to receive this. This is an open table. That means each and every person is welcome. That means all of you are welcome to come forward. I come forward under the direction of the ushers.